This is Steve Cadley with another show of Atlanta Sales Talk Radio, and we have a wonderful show for you today. I'm here with my wonderful co-host, Mr. Andy Lowe. How's that training going there, buddy?
It's going pretty well. I'll find out for sure on Sunday. I decided last minute this on Wednesday, right, uh-huh, before registration closed. I'm going to do the half iron distance try up at LJ, the Mountain Madness. I hope the training's going well enough, because it's going to be a 70.3-mile day.
Yeah, well, I'm up to about 4 miles now walking on the treadmill, so I'm pretty proud of myself.
You're almost there.
I'm smoking.
You're almost there.
Yeah, that's right. I only got, 66 miles to go, and I'm catching up to
and
you.
And you'll be right there.
All right, man. All right, so we have a wonderful show, as I said earlier. We have Mr. Mark Satterfield here with us. We're going to be talking about sales, as we always do here on Atlanta Sales Talk Radio. And he is the purveyor of two organizations, Gentle Rain Marketing and Gentle Rain Selling Systems. And I'm excited, having met and worked with Mark in the past. I think he has some really great ideas and some interesting perspectives on sales, and I just can't wait to get into it. So, Mark, why don't you introduce yourself? Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Steve. Great to be here.
It's great to have you here. So who is Mark Satterfield? Where did you come from?
Gosh, I can't believe it, but this year, it's 20 years since I started Gentle Rain Marketing.
20 years. Wow. It catches up on you real quick.
I know. There's a painting in the attic that's not doing so well. But, hard to believe. But, I'm one of these lifetime sales and marketing people. I was the kid selling lemonade on the side of the street.
Oh, early age entrepreneur, huh?
Oh, I tell you. You know, didn't sell much of it. But, I had an undergraduate degree in English. I have a graduate degree in psychology. Didn't want to be a psychologist. Mm-hmm. And my mom and dad were both university professors, so had no clue as to what actually I could do in the business world. So a friend of mine said, hey, you have a graduate degree in psychology, you got an undergraduate degree in English, you'd make a great advertising copywriter. And I went, cool, I wonder what that is.
Sign me up.
Hey, I tell you, I know, if it pays money, I'm all
right
there. So anyway, back then, ad agencies, they'd take a flyer on somebody who really didn't have any technical qualifications, but was somebody that seemed interested. So I wound up working for an ad agency by the name of Darcy, and wound up writing ad copy for Anheuser-Busch. And
big fan, by the way. Big fan of Anheuser-Busch.
Me too. I gave them back most of the money that they paid me. And from there, I moved over to the corporate side after a couple of years, and went to work for Pepsi-Cola, again doing marketing and sales work, and then wrapped up my corporate career at Kraft Foods, where I ran marketing for their cheese business. And Kraft, as you may recall, got purchased by Philip Morris in the late 1980s, and decided I didn't want to work for a cigarette company. So went out and started Gentle Rain Marketing back in the early 90s, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Wow, outstanding. I mean, what a great pedigree, because I think about selling and marketing in the world of PepsiCo or Coca-Cola. I know your arch nemesis of PepsiCo at that time, still is. But think about it. You're selling sugar water, and it's a billion-dollar organization. And so anybody who can sell that and make it into something, that's some pretty good pedigree, so impressive. So you started Gentle Rain Marketing 20 years ago. What does Gentle Rain Marketing do? What do you guys do?
Well, basically, when you talk to most sales people, the biggest concern they have is that they don't have prospects who are qualified. They spend a lot of time talking to people who aren't interested, aren't qualified, don't have money, et cetera, et cetera. And my belief is that great marketing shortens the sales cycle, because if you've got great marketing, if you're bringing people into a marketing system and you're drip marketing on them, and if at a certain point in time you then turn them over to the sales force, well, the only people you're turning over to the sales force are those who've got a high likelihood of actually becoming customers. So what we do at Gentle Rain...
You would hope anyway, right?
Yeah. I mean, nothing works 100%, but what we're doing is we're setting up very targeted niche marketing campaigns, and we are offering some sort of free piece of information that goes to the problems or issues that this particular constituency has. We get people to raise their hand, express that initial interest, mm-hmm. and then we drip market. We use a what we call a soap opera sequence, where we send ongoing messages that further communicate the benefits that people would get if only they solve the problem. We talk about the consequences if they don't solve the problem. And we get them to the point where they're ready to say, yeah, you know, I'd really like to talk to someone about this solution. And then at that point in time, we turn them over to the sales force.
Interesting. So, and you've been doing this for 20 years, so you have to refine that process. And I'm just struck because as we're talking, you know, this whole new advent of marketing automation. You guys were doing it before all these technology platforms were out there, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the process has been the same, pretty much. But mm-hmm. back when we started, we didn't have websites. So we would have people call 1-800 numbers. And if they would listen to a recorded message, and mm-hmm. then they would leave their name, and invariably it'd be, yes, I am interested in my name is listening, you can reach me on this. And, you know, you'd go over and over, try to remember who try to decipher what the person was. And we used to drive leads by broadcast fax. Man, that was so cool, broadcast fax. You could send the things out. It cost a penny to send it out. High level of response. We were driving tons of business with broadcast fax, and then they made it illegal. So, bummer.
Well, yeah, but it's interesting because you think about, you know, we're both dating ourselves now, but you think about when fax was still cutting-edge technology, you know, and now you look at our phones, and they're not even used for talking anymore. It's everything but, for the most part.
Oh, yeah. I remember my first website I set up, it cost me $3,000. I mean, can you imagine what you can get for $3,000 nowadays? I mean, it's amazing.
And do you remember your first website?
Yeah, I go even further back than that. I remember my first computer and my first 1200 baud modem.
Wow, 1200 baud.
Yeah, you basically log into AOL in the morning, go to work, and hopefully by the time you came home, the updates had finished installing, and you could actually get on the little Gopher system and browse for them.
Gopher system. Yeah. Now this is getting scary.
We're digging back, right?
Or the Amber monitors working at AT&T way back in the day, we were using email before anyone knew what it was. Right, it was internal electronic messaging. Anyway, I digress here, Mark. I was just thinking, but think about, you've been building infrastructure for doing drip campaigns. Before, you were probably calling it drip campaigns. I mean, what were you calling it back then?
Well, I think we called it Stay in Touch, which wasn't as elegant. But, fundamentally, look, I mean, this process has been around forever. I mean, when I was a kid, I loved to read comic books. And in the back mm-hmm. of the comic books, there were these ads for the Charles Atlas Muscle Building System. You remember those? It had the four, the four panel cartoon.
Yep.
And in panel number one, the skinny kid's at the beach with the girl. Bully comes up, kicks sand in the skinny kid's face. Skinny kid goes home, vows never to have sand kicked in his face again, signs up for the Charles Atlas Muscle Building Program in the space of one cartoon panel. He becomes this incredible Hulk. He goes completely incredible, incorrect, punches the guy in the jaw. Well, I remember seeing that, and being a skinny 11-year-old kid, I thought this mm-hmm. was the coolest thing, and it had a little coupon, and it said, do you want bulging biceps? Do you want abs of steel? And I remember, checking it off, thinking, oh, boy, can I have both? And I sent it in, and I got a nice brochure back from Chuck Atlas, because mm-hmm. we were now buddies, and he, it was the Secrets of Dynatention, which was basically do some push-ups, do some sit-ups. And then the next week, there was a letter that came and said, Mark, if you really want to accelerate your muscle-building prowess, you should enroll in the Charles Atlas Muscle Building System. And 2 weeks later, another letter came. 2 weeks later, another letter came. I mean, for all I know, letters may still be coming to the parents' house.
Yes.
But fundamentally, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
And we're creating, we're sending out a message that resonates with a very specific niche audience about a problem they're facing. We're offering them something free mm-hmm. to get them to opt in. And then we send them ongoing messages with an intriguing story so that they eventually want to invest in our services.
Now, Mark, what changes have you seen in this as technology has changed and as consumers have changed? I mean, we have consumers that are more savvy than ever. They're not waiting for a sales guy to educate them. They're seeking out the information and finding it. And they're looking to make decisions through their mobile devices, spur of the moment, on the spot. How do you integrate some of your marketing campaigns to capture that changing dynamic?
Well, you're obviously a lot broader now. You have to be on a lot of different platforms, whereas before you might be able to operate or advertise in a comic book. Now you've got to be on the internet. You got to be mobile. You've got to be where your particular constituency is. In many ways, though, it's gotten a lot simpler. And, you know, the technology enables relatively small companies to have the same level of presence that a big company does. Now, the flip side to it is that consumers and businesses are much more savvy about messaging. So the message that's gone out that we've heard a million times before, anything that reeks of being obvious or simplistic, that dies a very, very quick death. So the technology has made the reach a lot easier. It made it easier to pinpoint specific audiences. The real challenge is on the copy side. How do you communicate messages so that you are really speaking to a single individual, so that individual really feels like you understand their particular problem, even though you may be sending that message out to literally thousands and thousands of people?
So it's really, it comes back to the copy, which is, you know, that Charles Atlas story of being able to appeal to your interest at that time and then following up and continuing to do that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, you create an app that when you get punched in the face or get sand kicked on you, I should say, you know, you open up your app and go, I just got sand kicked on me. And then
what do?
It redirects you to the Charles Atlas page, right?
That's right.
but interesting, this is one of the problems, is that many people feel that technology is the solution. So they feel if they have a presence on Twitter, a presence on Facebook, a presence on LinkedIn, something great is going to happen just because they're there. And all those are really vehicles to get the message out, but it still has got to be a compelling message.
Yes.
So it's those stories that you tell. That remains the real crux of the issue. And unfortunately, a lot of people just don't really grasp that. And as a result, they go back and say, oh, Facebook doesn't work, LinkedIn doesn't work. Well, that's not true.
Yeah, no,
it's the messaging. That's
it's
all.
The messaging, and it's the consistency. I think it's really what comes into it. I use this analogy all the time working with a lot of my clients. Yeah, I tried that. It didn't work. So, like, you know, I have a friend who tried, you know, who said, yeah, I tried that aerobic stuff once. It didn't work. You know, it's like, it's not once. It's consistent, ongoing. If it doesn't work the first time, you're not telling the right story is what I'm hearing you say.
Exactly.
Yeah. Interesting. And I go back to the Charles Atlas in the back, and I remember that little comic strip, the fourth slides. I was always the one ordering the next, you know, those X-ray goggles. Those damn things still don't, they never worked, you know.
And it was very disappointing.
Very disappointing, you know. You're going to be able to look through the, anyway, I digress again. You're taking me far afield here, Mark. You're bringing back all these old memories. So is that the Gentle Rain marketing system? So how are some of your clients, and how are you actually setting this up for them, if you dig into that a little bit?
Well, a client will come to us and they'll say, we want to develop a very niche marketing campaign to this particular group. Mm-hmm. And so what we'll do is we'll do a very in-depth survey where we really try to identify what's the profile of this individual. Because that's key. If we don't have the profile of the individual in mind, we can't really write copy that's going to speak to that particular profile. So we spend a lot of time really drilling down and identifying that. Then what we do is we create some sort of free offer that focuses on usually an issue of pain that this particular person's facing. Now, that free offer might be a free report, could be an ebook, could be a video. The medium by which it's given doesn't make too much difference. The real key is, are we spot on in terms of the problem? So we'll create whatever the free offer is. We'll just say it's a report. Then on their website, we'll create a promotional ad. And the promotional ad is really focused on getting people to opt in, to get this free piece of information. And their contact information goes into what's called an autoresponder system. And that's just basically a database from which we can then send out additional messages. and then we'll figure out what does the soap opera storyline look like. And so we'll create usually about 3 months worth of messages, mm-hmm. and those will go out, and they're all designed to build trust, build credibility, but most importantly, motivate people to take the next step in the selling situation. Now, that might be call for something. It might be being receptive to a salesperson's specific telephone call. It can be a lot of different things, but specifically designed to get people ready for that next step.
Softening, nurturing, is
exactly.
Or the drip, hence the drip campaign.
Exactly.
Got it. Makes sense.
Then what we do is we drive traffic. And the way we like to drive traffic is through paid advertising. And mm-hmm. so we will run ads on Google, Bing, Yahoo, LinkedIn, all the different networks, and they will be very targeted to appeal to that very specific market that we're going after.
Yep.
So we'll drive the traffic, people will download the report, we'll send the drip marketing, and that's basically the system.
So is it... So a lot of your clients, are we focused on more the business to consumer, or is it business to business, or is it?
It's both.
Yeah,
it's both. I mean, in the business to consumer, we work with cosmetic dentists, dermatologists, lawyers in the business space, all sorts of different consultants. Our belief is that if your prospective client is searching on the internet. And you need to develop a relationship with your prospect.
Mm-hmm.
We offer a good solution for you.
Good, makes sense. So if they're looking for. So in my case, I'm looking for sales vice presidents who are going through some growing pains, trying to get all their salespeople productive. That's a perfect audience for me. That's a business to business application, but it's understanding their pains of that a individual, but also understanding the pains of that role. In this particular case, I can see that.
Exactly. Yeah. And nowadays, we can now then target, so with such a micro approach, when we then advertise, that we can just reach out to those people that would make good clients for you and avoid sending the message out to people who realistically aren't appropriate for your particular offer.
Makes a lot of sense. And then, so that's the gentle rein marketing, and I like to think of it too of how it's almost it's the father of this modern day marketing automation in a lot of ways, because they've just a lot of these marketing automation platforms are just platforms. It's the process that you've actually refined over the 20 years that they're trying to automate effectively.
Right. We just basically say, look, I mean, marketing can be overwhelming. People make it way too complicated. We say, look, it's three things. You know, number one, you got to drive traffic to a website. Number two, you got to get the people that go to your website to opt in. So offer them something free. Step number three, stay in touch with them. Send them interesting messages that, again, build trust, build credibility, and eventually get them to do stuff. And if you focus on those three things, you can put a marketing system in place inside of 30 days that does gangbusters.
Wow. That's as simple as that. Those three steps. I think that's a key right there for this audience, and I think that's powerful. So tell us now, you have the Gentle Rein sales system also. How is that? I imagine it's an outgrowth of the Gentle Rein marketing program. Say more about that.
Well, the sales system is where we do a couple of different things. The selling system is focused on implementing the program that I talked to you about. And then we also do a fair amount of training around this. So, for example, and this came about because we had a lot of people who were financial advisors who came to us. And because of compliance, you can't do a lot of the things in terms of free reports and websites. So the financial advisors said, you know, Mark, we love your program. We'd love to be able to do it, but compliance won't let us. So is there something else that you can help us with? And so we started looking at financial advisors, and what we discovered is that financial advisors, and this is true to many sales professionals, it's that they all sound the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you line them up, they all say the same thing. You know, they are talking about their unique financial strategy, which is pretty incomprehensible, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So what became very apparent was the way a financial advisor can differentiate themselves is by telling stories. And financial advisors and many other sales professionals fall into this camp is one of the main ways that they raise awareness is through presentations. Some mm-hmm. they sponsor themselves. Sometimes they give, you know, to organizations or groups. And I don't know about you, but I've sat through way too many boring presentations.
Amen.
And what makes an interesting presentation is a great story. So we started to say, okay, how can stories be used from a strategic standpoint, both in one-on-one selling, but also in presentations, so that people are really then motivated to take the next step?
Sure.
And so this became actually a sales training program that we give to organizations of all sorts of sizes, all sorts of industries. And what we fundamentally do is we teach people how to develop stories and then how to communicate those stories in a presentation. And we started in the financial services field, and it, you know, went extremely well. People wrote us back saying, hey, you know, this is great. We're getting higher level of responses from our group in terms of people that are actually then calling for appointments as a result of this technique. And so it kind of spread through the financial services industries, and then it migrated to technology, where we do a lot of training. And, of course, that makes sense because technology is very difficult to explain. It's very difficult to get people excited about technology.
That's true.
Until you tell the stories about the benefits that you get if you use Super Whiz Bang 2012.
Sure. No, I think it's probably true for any, pretty much any product. If it's, it can sound the same, you have to be able to make, here's how it can impact you, here's what the success has been, here's what it meant. I think stories, that's great, because I think the first, last time we met was, I think, the book, is this the, based on the book that you've written, Storytelling.
Right. Yeah, I wrote the book Unique Sales Stories.
Right,
and that did well, went to number one on Amazon, and that I actually wrote because it was the sharp tip of the spear in mm-hmm. terms of marketing the sales training program. But it was a great way to get the word out, and as a result, it's gotten me an a lot of opportunities to do radio, such as this and, mm-hmm. and other media. So from our own marketing development at Gentle Rain, it's the books are important for us.
And it's paying its dues or dividends, right?
Yeah,
right. So
absolutely.
That's outstanding. It was a great read, by the way, and I think it was very insightful too, because I look at several clients that I'm currently working with around process, which is they go and implement the process around their selling methodology. It's always the most impactful is when they start to tell and share stories. And we're not even using the methodology, and I'm thinking, that's something we're going to have to talk more about that. Probably off the air here, how we can get that incorporated here. But and that's really the story, the unique story, and how to build your own unique story is really what as the basis of the Gentle Rain selling system.
Absolutely. I mean, it all gets back down to what we were talking about before. The platform that you deliver the message, whether you're speaking it, whether you're giving it on the internet, whether you're setting it on a website, whether you're having it be a trailer behind a plane, you know, that's secondary. The key is the content. And does the content really speak to the unique needs, wants, desires that a specific audience has? And if you can focus on a specific audience, and if you can create that kind of message, I mean, you can sell an awful lot of stuff.
Absolutely. I'm just thinking of applying some of the concepts, methodologies that I'm used to working with. And, you know, we talk about a lot of times, what's the customer trying to fix, accomplish, or avoid? Or what's the prospect trying to fix, accomplish, or avoid? And creating some theories around what they're trying to fix, accomplish, or avoid. And that's right in line with creating what's their pain. And then building a story and saying, here's how I've solved that pain. And being able to tell that story from different vantage points. That's the soap opera storytelling of the Drip campaign is putting some pieces together. I'm having some aha moments here again. Thank you. I appreciate that, Mark. So that's great. So a great deal of success. So you start off in the financial services industry, and now you've moved into the technology. And this is all, what other areas are you starting to see some real traction? Because I'm intrigued now. This is
Well, we're seeing, interestingly, a lot of lawyers start to get excited about this. I mean, Jerry Spence, the famous trial lawyer, he said that at the end of the day, the lawyer that wins the case is the one that tells the best story. But nowhere in your law school education do they actually teach storytelling. And you know, storytelling is kind of one of these interesting things. I mean, we always have told stories.
Right.
And it's something we grew up with. And so we just kind of assume that we're good at it. But when you get into a business environment, when you get into an environment where there's money on the line, even somebody who's comfortable telling a story in a social situation or with a family, it starts to feel a little hesitant. They wonder, hey, is this story too long? Am I boring? Am I really getting my point across? And so having a structure, having a system for telling stories, that is key. And that's what we did. That's really what we do in the program is we teach the people the structure. But quite frankly, you know, you can learn the structure by reading my book. The real key, the real benefit comes from actually trying it out and actually developing the stories. A little bit like, you know, you can't learn to swim by reading a book. You can't really learn to tell stories by reading a book. Mm-hmm. You've got to actually try them, get feedback, develop mouthfeel around them. Because the first time you tell the story, you know, in your mind, you're as concise as all get out. But when it comes out of your mouth, it's blah, 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 blah. You know, the second time you get better, the third time, now you start to get it nailed down. And that's really, I think, the benefit of what we're doing is giving people an opportunity in a safe environment to develop, practice, get positive feedback on these stories. And one of the things we tell people in the training is we say, look, here's our guarantee. You know, we're going to teach you the process, but that's the easy part. What we guarantee beyond that is you're going to leave the program with a minimum of 3 stories, good to go the very next day. So you really have something tangible that you're walking away with. And you can take those stories, you can put them in your presentations, you can put them in your written material, you can use them in your one-on-one selling situations. You know, so it's got, I think, our approach, which is very, very practical, I think that's what's really helped us get the program adopted through, you know, a number of different industries.
Wow, it sounds really exciting. I'm very intrigued. I'll have to pick up and review that book again because I think some of that storytelling skill set, I think, can never be underestimated, the power in the sales process, I think, which you've captured in the book. So with that said, I like to always, as we start to bring it down, I know we talked about potentially doing a special offer to some of the listeners here today. So some thoughts around getting something out there for our audience.
Yeah, I got an offer that I'll make to everyone. Here's the deal. Go to gentlerainmarketing.com. We've got a free report on the site, which I think is going to be very helpful for anybody who wants to develop consistent streams of brand new clients. But I've also done a couple of webinars on how to be more persuasive in your communication, how to attract more new clients. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to offer those for free to everyone who's listening to this. We normally sell these things for about $89 a piece, but I'd like to offer them for free. So the way you get the free stuff is when you sign up for the free report at gentlerainmarketing.com, there's a little box which has comments. Just put in send free stuff. If you put in send free stuff into the box, we will not only send you the report, but we'll also send you the webinars with our compliments.
Outstanding. See, we're already bringing people some value here today. How do you think of that, Andy?
I like it. Of course, I wish we branded a little differently, though. We ought to make them type Business Radio X into the box. See, that's our general marketing.
Well, we can say, okay, so now the rule is send free stuff per Business Radio X.
I like that. Yeah, it works.
We got to get the message out. We got to be relevant.
Absolutely.
I've been taking notes over here.
Good. Yeah, wow. It's good. I saw you taking notes. Good. All right. Thank you. I appreciate it, Mark. There were some great insights. We have some valuable information that you've shared. You brought value to the listener base. Question for you. What kind of guidance, advice would you give someone who's just entering the world of sales and the sales profession? Coming new out of school, new into the world, what kind of guidance and offer would you offer them?
The biggest mistake that most salespeople make is that they lead with their solution. They're way too quick to talk about their solution. And it's not to say your prospective client, isn't interested in your solution. I'm just not interested in it immediately. So what you want to do in terms of selling is to figure out where my pain points are. So the ability to ask good questions, the ability to identify the pain points, that's the key. And then after you've fully identified the pain points, then you go into presenting the solution. And when you present the solution, tell me a story.
Good. Storytelling, ask questions before you do the proverbial show up and throw up, I think, is what I hear a lot of, too. It's like, you know, I don't want to hear all about your solution. I want to be felt first.
Absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
Mark, well, I appreciate it. I think it was a great show, a lot of value, a lot of information that I gained out of this. And I think Andy over there, taking his copious notes, I think gained something also.
Well, yeah, you know, not only did I learn something for now, but I figure if I take enough of these notes, I'm going to do like Dr. Tim, and I'll put it all into a book and sell it at the end of the year, right?
There you go.
Tips and wisdom from all of our great sales professionals.
And just make sure that you send it out for free. Send free stuff.
Send free stuff at Business Radio X.
Good. Well, I appreciate it again, Mark. This is Steve Cadley and another show of Atlanta Sales Talk Radio. And until next time, happy selling. And remember, everybody is in sales.